Chapter 10. Prison. For weeks, we lived in the small, airless cell. We lay on dirty straw with our feet in chains and had only dry bread to eat. There was nothing to do but lie and think. My thoughts often turned to my darling Grace. What is she doing now? I wondered. Is she very lonely? Does she ever think of me? I missed Ratsey and Mr. Glennie and their kindness to me. I was happy Elzevir was with me, and I wasn't alone, but I felt guilty. Poor Elzevir, I thought. He never blames me for our problems, but it was my stupid ideas that brought us here. Elzevir tried to get information from the guards. When will there be a trial? How long will we be here? He asked, but they didn't reply. Finally, the day of our trial arrived. On the way to the court, we saw daylight for the first time in weeks, and I felt hopeful. Tell the judge the diamond is real, Elzevir, I said. Tell him Alba's cheated us. He's the thief, not us. I'll try, he replied, but I don't think he'll believe two foreign sailors. Who will believe we own a valuable diamond? At the trial, I only understood a little of what was happening. The judge asked Elzevir questions, but it was clear he didn't believe the answers. Nobody believed them. Everybody in the courtroom laughed when Elzevir spoke about our valuable diamond. They believed Alba's because he was rich, well-known, and Dutch. "Tell us, Mr. Alba's," said the judge, "did these fellows try to sell you a diamond?" "They tried to sell me a glass copy of a diamond," said Albers with a smile. "I examined it and saw immediately that it wasn't real. I offered them 10 silver crowns for it, and they attacked me." Elzevir was furious. "That's a lie," he shouted. "You know the diamond is real. You're a liar and a thief." A guard hit Elzevir on the mouth, and he was silent. Nothing can save us now, I thought bitterly. The judge gave us a life sentence in a prison work camp. You're fortunate he didn't send you to the hangman, said one of the guards to Elzevir. As we left the courtroom, we walked past Mr. Albers. Good day to you, Mr. John Trenchard of Moonfleet, Dorset, he said to me in English. This is not a good day for you, Mr. Albers, I replied. That diamond is cursed and brings evil to those who don't use it well. You stole it, so it will bring you only evil and suffering. I don't know where those words came from. Until then, I never believed that the diamond was cursed, but at that moment, I believed it with all my heart. I finally understood what Grace and Elzevir had said so many times. You must use the diamond well, or it will bring you bad luck. Now I knew they were right. Albers is avaricious, I thought sadly, but I was avaricious too. The diamond brought me evil because in my heart I never planned to use it well. The prison was in an old fortress at Eemegen, many kilometers from The Hague. We marched for days with our hands chained to a long bar. That was the last time I had an opportunity to talk to Elzevir. At Eemegen, he was in a different work group, and we rarely saw each other. Conditions in the prison were terrible. We lived in huge stone cells and were often cold and hungry. We worked from early morning, slowly digging and rebuilding the fortress, and returned exhausted to our cell at night. Yet it was better to be working in the fresh air than lying all day in a stinking cell. They were terrible years, and I prefer not to think or talk about them, but there is one thing I must mention. One day, two guards came and took me to a small room. As we got near, I smelt burning flesh, and I was terrified. They're going to torture me, I thought desperately. They didn't torture me, but the pain was bad enough. They burned my cheek with the letter Y, the first letter of Eemegen. They used a long, red-hot iron, and it was terrible. Now I'm marked forever with a Y, exactly like the Y sign of the Mahoon family, I thought. Time passed slowly in prison, and years went by. Elzevir's hair was now completely white, It was hard to believe that our lives were passing in this terrible place when we had committed no crime. One morning, in our 10th year at Eimeichen, the guards didn't appear. Instead, soldiers with whips and guns came and made us march back to The Hague. As we marched, we learned from the soldiers what was happening. "You're going to Java to work on the Dutch sugar plantations there," they told us. One of them added cruelly, "Life in Eimeichen will seem like a holiday when you get to Java." It was a frightening thought, but even worse was the thought of going so far away. "We're leaving Europe," I thought in desperation. "I'll never see England or Moonfleet again. We'll be slaves in Java till we die."